We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter. And we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
There's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being. This much we know.
I think that it is a good time for those who voted for the ban against gay marriage to sit and reflect and anticipate their great shame and the shame in their grandchildren's eyes if they continue that way.
I feel that this happened for a much bigger reason than baseball. I think God's put me now in a forum where I can be heard, and I hope that kids would not make the same mistake that I made.
To all of the gay and lesbian kids out there tonight who have been told that they are less than by their churches, no matter what anyone tells you, God does love you. Very soon, I promise you, you will have equal rights federally across this great nation of ours.
So far in the Augsburg Confession, it's all been relatively self-contained. It's been God, it's been Christ, it's been things like original sin. And we've been able to read each one of these articles with our pastors' roundtables as an isolated little subject, but not with the subject today. In fact, the very text of the Augsburg Confession doesn't even permit us to do that, because this one begins with the word so that we may obtain this faith. What faith? Well, the faith they were talking about a little earlier when they were talking about justification. You get the sense that you can't talk about the ministry, whatever that means nowadays. I mean, everybody's got a ministry, right? The guy who mows the grass at the church, that's his ministry. I guess there's a sense in which you could say that's true, but is it the ministry that Christ instituted? We're going to be answering some of those questions here during our Pastor's Roundtable this Thursday afternoon. It's the 5th of March. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little later on, Issues Etc., we'll be talking with Pam Victor of Missouri Right to Life about some pro-life legislation in Missouri. And then Pore Kashmir is going to join us. We'll talk about the Nation of Islam's Savior's Day. What could that mean in the context of Louis Farrakhan's Nation of Islam? Pore Kashmir is author of the book Islamic Impostors, Exposing the Beliefs of Black Muslims. You might have heard Snoop Dogg, the rapper. He joined the Nation of Islam on Savior's Day and made his announcement. We'll talk a little bit about that a little later in the program. Our call-in number on this Thursday, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Joining us here in the studio for our Pastor's Roundtable, Pastor Charlie Henriksen. He's pastor of St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bon Terre, Missouri. Charlie, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. Good to be here.
Also here in the studio, Pastor Fritz Bowie. He's pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois. Hi, Fritz.
Good to see you again.
And then from Plano, Texas, near my hometown, Faith Lutheran Church, Pastor James Wolmer. James, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
Jim, thank you so much for having me down there about a month and a half ago to Faith for a North Texas Free Conference. It was great to see everybody there.
It was great to have you, and you had a great presentation.
Charlie, first for you, why does it begin, so that we may obtain this faith, the ministry of teaching the gospel and administering the sacraments was instituted? What ministry is it talking about, and why does it begin by referencing the previous article on justification by grace through faith?
That's what the ministry is all about, is so that people would be justified by grace through faith in Christ. That is why God instituted what we will call the office, the preaching office, the office of the ministry. Take your pick of those terms, but it is so that people will be justified through faith in Christ. That is, put right with God.
I want to come back to that in a minute. Fritz, everybody's got a ministry nowadays. I mean, there are an awful lot of self-proclaimed ministries out there. There are ministries, big and small ones, that have television shows and worldwide evangelism crusades, and then down to the level of the guy who believes it's his ministry to sell melons in the church parking lot during season, and he calls it his ministry. What is the ministry that this article is talking about?
First, an anecdote. President Harry Truman would say to his Secret Service detail, boys, he said, every time I get off the plane and see the 21-gun salute, I have to remind myself that what they're saluting is not me, but the office of the president. In other words, the man is not coterminous with the office. And in this case, what the fifth article of the Augsburg Confession says, the office of the ministry is the gospel and the sacraments. These are holy things. We are not holy people, other than that we are declared holy and justified by Christ for his sake. But the office, per se, is things that come from God, not ultimately, the melons that are sold in the parking lot are come from God under the first article, but under the second article of the creed, the specific, the gospel, holy gospel, and the sacraments, the means of grace, come from God, and those are the means, the method of delivery that God gives to us. So it's not the individual in the office comes from God, just like the gospel itself only comes from God.
Jim, how are we to sort this out when everyone claims to have a ministry? Some of them would say it's as valid and as God-given a ministry as the one we're talking about here of the gospel and the sacraments.
Well, I don't know if the gospel is really understood in that sense then. The office of the Holy Ministry is about Christ, preaching Christ, baptizing and teaching Christ and his word, absolving sin that Christ had earned for, administering the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of sins. And that's the proper understanding of the office that Christ has established within his church. And I think there's a confusion of the ministry is because there is a confusion of this very gospel.
Okay, Charlie, someone walks up to you and says, I have a certain ministry. And when they describe it, it has nothing to do with the proclamation of the gospel or the administration of the sacraments. What are you going to say to them?
I would probe that further. You could use the word ministry in a couple of different senses, even biblically. For example, in the book of Acts chapter 6, there was a dispute about what we might call the food pantry for the widows. And the apostles said, we really can't be taking all our time doing this. You pick some men to take over this ministry, and we will devote ourselves to the ministry of the word. All right? So we could speak about ministry, small m perhaps, as a Christian service, and that's fine and good. But when we're talking about the ministry as spoken of in Article 5 of the Augustana, that is something very specific. That is, and you can ask yourself these questions. Is the selling of the melons in the parking lot delivering the word and the sacraments for people to obtain faith in Christ and be justified of their sins? If it isn't doing that, it's not the ministry in the sense of Article 5 of the Augustana. It may be a Christian service, a good Christian service, but it's not the ministry in that sense.
Just to piggyback on that, in discussing sanctification, we talk about sanctification in the broad sense and in the narrow sense. You know, the broad sense being everything that God does to bring us to faith and the Holy Spirit does to keep us in the faith through the means of grace. But sanctification in the narrow sense is specifically the good works that we do that are motivated by faith.
Okay, is part of the problem here with the word ministry? I'm thinking, you know, if you go to Great Britain, they have the prime minister, they have ministries of, and in the United States you would probably call it department of, a general word for service, as opposed to this particular ministry whereby God grants saving faith to sinners. Is the problem with the English word that we're using here, Charlie?
Well, actually, your analogy of the Great Britain ministries is a good one, because there is a public office in which a person is placed and entrusted with authority to exercise an office, to do particular tasks that have been trusted to him in that office. So that is actually a pretty good analogy. Here we're just using it in the sense of Christ authorizing this person through the church to deal out the gospel for sinners.
Pastor Woolmer, as we go into this break with about a minute here, it occurs to me that if we cleaned up our language a little bit and talked perhaps about vocation applying to both pastors and to people in the things that God has given them to do, we wouldn't have so many people running around thinking that they're kind of quasi-pastors when God has not called them into this ministry. Do you think having solid teaching on Christian vocation would help?
Well, yeah. The pastor has been given, again, to preach, to teach, to baptize, to absolve, and to administer the Lord's Supper. He is to take care of the flock. This is mandated in Scripture and given to him. In terms of the priesthood of believers, whether it be a husband, wife, a father, mother, they could just as well love the neighbor in terms of service toward one another within the family or within their employment or vocation or whatever God has done for them. And so we need to keep our distinctions clear and the purposes for each realm. And so if we misunderstand, again, the gospel, we're going to have a misunderstanding of the ministry, of the office of the ministry. And so it's important to keep everything clear in terms of what God has given to us.
When we come back, we're going to talk about that gospel and the sacraments. I mean, here we're talking about very particular things, things that you can actually put your hands on, like baptism, preaching, teaching God's word, the Lord's Supper, words like, I forgive you all your sins. That's what the ministry looks like. When we come back, we'll start with the first of those, baptism. As we talk about the holy ministry, our pastor's Thursday roundtable.
Oh, sinners, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Leslie Bolts, Ralph Laufer, Tony Pittenger, Robert Sowers, Pastor Jeff Thormodson, Pastor Daniel Redhage, Marcia Thompson, Gregory Mantle, and David Baker. Thanks for your support.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Back by popular demand, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300, Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan, Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio, St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois, Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana, Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota, Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri, Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin, Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa, Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri, and Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Sponsors. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal, issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org. Click Sponsors. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the ministry, the ministry. There are all sorts of ministries. There are services, there are what would we say in kind of the sociological term would be areas of service, vocation, callings, And yet there is an office of the ministry instituted by Christ, and the content of it is, in fact, the gospel and the sacraments. We'll get to those gospel and sacraments in just a moment. Our call-in number live this Thursday afternoon on the 5th of March, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, and our in-studio email address is talkback@issuesetc.org. Let's see what Lisa has to say, calling from Houston, Texas. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Living within my vocations, I bump up against people who may ask me about the hope that lies within me. My mouth, I was born with both feet permanently installed in my mouth. How do I learn to speak law and gospel clearly without bumping up against what the ministry does?
Excellent question, Lisa, and thank you for listening in Houston. Charlie.
Well, first of all, how do you distinguish law and gospel? Go back to the basics, the Ten Commandments, God's law, what we're supposed to do, but we fail at in thought, word, and deed, what we're supposed to do, what we're supposed to not do in terms of love for God and love for our neighbor, very basic. And then that will not save us. But then the gospel, think of the outline of the creed, the Apostles' Creed. There's a good evangelistic, if you will, outline right there. And I do not think you are intruding, Lisa, on the office of the ministry if in your daily conversations you tell somebody the good news about Jesus. That's fine, and every pastor loves that when that happens.
Just to piggyback on that, to encourage Lisa, give no thought. The Holy Spirit will guide you and give you thoughts and words, you know, as you're acquainted with Holy Scripture to communicate effectively. Even sometimes I think the most stumbling testimony that we give of the hope that is within us can strike arrows in the heart of a listener. Plus, just sometimes nonverbal things like looking at a person and being there and showing love for them can be quite effective.
Lisa, thank you very much. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about a book that one of you mentioned during the break, written in 1974, called Everyone a Minister. Oscar Feucht wrote this book, and I commented, I remember reading it. I think I was required to read it when I was in a Lutheran high school or something like that. And didn't strike me as anything remarkable at the time, but I have since come to the opinion that that single book has done more to set back biblical teaching on the pastoral ministry than anything else published in the last 100 years, especially among Lutherans. Charlie, your thoughts on Everyone a Minister, that idea that there really are no distinctions between the Christian vocation and the vocation to the holy ministry.
Man, I used to be in favor of that book. I was a young lay leader in my congregation in Chicago in the mid to late 1970s. We read that book, some of the church officers, and at the time I was very excited about it. And I mean, there is a place for laity to get involved in the leadership of their congregation, but I think there was a couple of problems behind it. Was pastors really not living up to their vocation and taking the lead and speaking authoritatively? It really fit the mood of the country at the time. A sort of pastor as enabler, facilitator, coach. The analogy was often given, you guys are the real ministers. They even put in the bulletins usually, ministers, all the people of, you know, Bethesda Lutheran Church, and, you know, the pastor's kind of the coach. But this was more of a sociological mood than a biblical mandate, I think.
Pastor Woolmer, it seems as though if the pastor is trying his hardest to divest himself of the authority that Christ has granted to him by his call, saying to his people, oh, you're the real ministers in this church, and then the people are being asked to take on the pastor's responsibilities in some sort of a sense, that's going to lead to nothing but rank confusion, especially if you consider this office of ministry to be of divine origin and not just a human contrivance.
Well, you're right. And I think gospel is at the center of this because our Lord wants a man who's been properly instructed, ordained, to protect the congregation from false doctrine, but also to preach the pure gospel. We don't ask whose turn is it to preach this Sunday, or whose turn is it to administer this or that. There has been there is a man that's been properly taught, examined, ordained, marked, installed into the office that God has established to bespeak Christ, to stand in His stead, to absolve, forgive sins. And so, again, when we have a misunderstanding of this to where everybody and anybody can perhaps do it and take turns, then, and I really believe that the gospel is at stake there and Christ as a real shepherd.
Jim is listening in Evansville, Indiana. Jim, thank you for waiting. Welcome.
Yes, I had Lisa's question about law and gospel. I had heard Rod Rosenblatt on a White Horse Inn, and they were talking about law and gospel, and he said, I think it was him that said, an easy way to remember, basically, law is an imperative, gospel is an indicative. Imperative is something you have to do, that's law. If it's something that God or Christ has done, that's an indicative, that's gospel.
Thank you very much, Jim. Well, you responded to Lisa. What about Jim's call?
Well, sometimes the gospel is stated in an imperative sentence, but the sense of Jim's point is true. The law, Ten Commandments, tells us what we're supposed to do, and the gospel tells us what God has done and is doing and will do for us. I think the acronym SOS is a good one for both. The law, SOS, shows our sins. The gospel, SOS, shows our Savior.
The article reads, Pastor Wilmer, so that we may obtain this faith, the ministry of teaching the gospel and administering the sacraments was instituted. Who instituted it, Pastor Wilmer?
Well, God did. And John 20 particularly, he breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are retained. He has told them to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins. He commissioned them to go and baptize and teach, to administer the Lord's Supper. So God is the one. It's His desire for men to be in the office in the stead of Christ.
Well, this is how it looks more often than not, Charlie. A guy is affable, has some speaking skill, maybe smarter than the average parishioner, and might be good-looking. He may start out as a youth leader, but pretty soon he's got a mega church. I'm thinking about Bill Hybels here.
All right, I know you're not thinking about anybody in this. Now, Wilmer's good-looking guy, but this is not best-looking.
The good-looking, smarter than average pretty much rules the rest of us.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so Bill Hybels starts out as essentially a youth group leader. The next thing you know, well, actually, you know, 25 years later, he has the largest and most influential megachurch in the United States until, of course, he's overtaken by Joel Osteen, who has less training than Bill Hybels. And he is pastor to pastors. He has leadership institutes and pastors flock to him to learn how to do their job when he hasn't been trained or even properly called to do it. What's going on here?
Well, give Osteen his credit. Obviously, he has some human skills to be successful. But we don't judge ministers on that. Often the best ministers in the history of the church have been people with kind of frail personalities or recluses or depressed people, Luther, Walther, men who are ready to die and whose teaching lines up with the Word of God. That is how we evaluate pastors, or at least that is how we are supposed to evaluate them, not just the smiley personality guys.
What do you say, Fritz, to a guy who is called to be a pastor, but then he hangs out his shingle to be a therapist? He likes to do the counseling stuff more than the preaching, the teaching, the administering the sacraments, or maybe he considers himself a CEO or a life coach.
Well, I keep thinking of the phrase ubi Christus ibi ecclesia, that where Christ is, there is the church, you know, still reflecting on the whole Bill Hybels, Joel Osteen nexus that I have trouble sleeping sometimes, and you know, there's nothing much on 2 o'clock in the morning except infomercials and Joel Osteen. And when I look at those programs, I see somebody who's like a life skills coach or a motivational speaker, like a sales conference, you know, Zig Ziglar type of person. And I have this image of a corpse speaking to a vast congregation of skeletons, because the gospel is not there. If the gospel is not there, Christ is not there. I don't care how many people. In America, we assume that bigger is better. And, you know, if you do things in a secular style, like, you know, with pastoral counseling or life skills coach or motivational speaker, that this is somehow the gospel and it's church. It's not.
Well, we'll be right back. Talk a little bit more about the office of the ministry. Get to baptism, the Lord's Supper as well. Stay tuned.
Through the desert of the truth. To the rivers of deep, we all end in the ocean. We all start in the streams. We're all carried along by the river.
To Lutheran for a Lutheran radio station, you're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. David Hansen, C.J. Evanson, Leonard Poppy, Ruth Asher, Roberta Allen, Donna Anderson, Helen Hitchcock, Scott Miller, Brig Ross, and Robert Bauer. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Americans have long struggled with the problem of homelessness. Communities everywhere have worked to provide for their basic needs. During this tough economic time, the problem is perhaps magnified. The first needs you think of regarding homeless individuals is food, clothing, shelter, and basic medical care. But if you're Planned Parenthood of Santa Barbara, California, you'd be thinking the homeless need abortion. Yes, this kingpin of the abortion industry is living up to its reputation by offering local homeless people free abortions. Ask yourself why. Could it be they don't want the so-called less desirables to reproduce? It's consistent with their founder, Margaret Sanger, who pushed eugenics even back then. The homeless don't need to kill their babies. They need real help.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's our Pastor's Roundtable this Thursday afternoon, the 5th of March, talking about the office of the ministry. Our calling number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Pam Fichter of Missouri Right to Life will be our guest in about a half hour. We'll talk about pro-life legislation in the state of Missouri. And then Pori Kashmir will join us to talk about the Nation of Islam's Savior's Day, held in Chicago on Sunday. Pori is author of the book Islamic Impostors, Exposing the Beliefs of Black Muslims. Our Pastor's Roundtable, Pastor James Wolmer is pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Plano, Texas. Pastor Charlie Henriksen is pastor of St. Matthew's Lutheran Church in Bon Terre, Missouri. And Pastor Fritz Bowie is pastor at Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois. Let's talk about the gospel and the sacraments. I think both of everyone in our roundtable has made it clear already that this is really about the gospel, and that without the gospel, there is no Christ. And if there's no Christ, there's no church. So what the preacher preaches and practices is of paramount importance. Let's go on to baptism. Fritz, let's start with, what is this thing instituted by Christ, and why is it included as one of the things that is the ministry?
Well, it's perfectly clear from Scripture that this is baptism is something that God does. It's not something that we do, that God is active in the water of holy baptism to seal us for redemption eternally and to wash away our sins. And the precedents in the Old Testament are multiple, with the great flood, the Israelites passing through the Red Sea, being baptized into the Moses and into the cloud, and also the covenant seal of circumcision for male children on the eighth day. All these things are types and shadows of that which is fulfilled in baptism and the impartation of the Holy Spirit with the forgiveness of sins, as is clear from Acts chapter 2. Essentially, in the course of my ministry, Todd, I've had more arguments about baptism than any other single point of doctrine, just with people that absolutely cannot see that it is a means of grace, that God actually does. People see it as symbolic. They see it as some kind of dedication for children, that it's meaningless, and people will not listen to what I mean. How many Baptist churches have you been in that ever preached on the text from 1 Peter chapter 3 that says baptism now saves you? I never have.
Okay, then, James, you raised something earlier in our conversation, and you said it was the divine institution of the holy ministry, John chapter 20, where Jesus, after his resurrection, appears and bestows the Holy Spirit, saying, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whoever sins you retain, they are retained. Is he making reference to confession and absolution there, and what role does that play in the ministry?
Yeah, this took place right after the resurrection, and because of the cross and the resurrection, the open tomb, there is peace, there is forgiveness, it is finished, atonement has been made, and this is now spoken upon the penitent. Again, whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. He who hears you hears me, and so the pastor is standing there as if Christ himself were standing there. This is all gift, giving the benefits and the blessings of the cross and the resurrection.
Jim, is it when he gives it to the disciples, is he of necessity not giving it to those who are outside the circle of the disciples? In other words, is this authority to forgive a general gift of Christ to every Christian, or is it restricted entirely to those called to this special ministry?
Well, Scripture is clear that we certainly ought to forgive one another, and it's mentioned in the Lord's Prayer, the fifth petition, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But in particular, there is an office established where one can be absolutely certain to hear that forgiveness for troubled consciences from the one to whom God has put into the office, and so John 20 is speaking in that context of hearing this very gospel put into the ears of the penitent to relieve consciences and to give them this blessing that Christ has earned by the cross and the resurrection.
If I could just add to that, I'd like to put in a word on behalf of the mystery of a word being spoken and uttered out loud, and so that someone can hear it. A marriage where the husband does not say to the wife, "I love you," frequently out loud, so she can hear it, is a marriage that's not built on a solid foundation. And in the same way, somehow we need to hear the word that, God forgives you, or the pastor touching you, laying his hand on you, saying, "I forgive you all your sins, and this particular sin that you have confessed." There's something very powerful. On the other hand, you know, I remember talking with a Presbyterian man, very devout, a Christian, who said, well, you know, all I need to do is just pray silently to God, and I know that he forgives me. But there's no sound exchange. There's no audible words being spoken. And in a way, it could be church-destroying, because why would you need, if you just have a relationship kind of with God in your mind, you know, who needs church? Who needs preaching? Who needs the sacraments? Who needs the gospel?
Who needs the Bible?
Who needs anything? It just, as the Augustinus says, condemned are the Anabaptists and others who teach that the Holy Spirit comes to us through our own preparations, thoughts, and works without the external word of the gospel, a word that needs to be vocalized.
Okay, Charlie, to what degree is talking about the Holy Ministry synonymous with talking about the Word of God? Really talking about the same thing so often here.
The ministry is simply the, what would you call it, the vehicle, the office for dispensing the Word of God, for distributing it to sinners in an orderly manner as Christ has instituted it.
Okay, and since I gave baptism to Fritz and absolution to Jim, you get the Lord's Supper. What is the role of this sacrament in the office of the ministry?
This is one of the means by which God gives us forgiveness and the Holy Spirit. As it says right here in the Augustana Article 5, through the word and sacraments, as through instruments, the Holy Spirit is given. He works faith when and where it pleases God, etc. So Christ himself, in his words of institution of the sacrament, said, this is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. So stewards of the mysteries, that's what those occupants of the office of the ministry are. They administer and are entrusted with the good and right administration of this sacrament.
Does the pastor, Fritz, have some – you started out by saying that it's not the man but the office.
Yeah.
Does the pastor have some sort of special endowment, special spirit, special little boost or ability given by God that is not given to every Christian in baptism?
We like to think that we do in the vanity of our imagination. But I'm looking at Ephesians chapter 4. You know, the way to give a non-answer to every question is to say yes or no, and also to say there's a broad sense and a narrow sense, you know, while you're trying to think up a good answer. But listen to this in Ephesians chapter 4. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, he might fill all things, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip the saints, comma, for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, and so forth. I think, Todd, that, you know, as holy baptism imparts the gift of the Holy Spirit, there are probably things that I can do as a Christian, as a minister, that that would not be possible without the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're dealing with supernatural things here. I mean, how do we explain it when we pray for people and they get well, or when we preach and lives are converted?
Could you repeat your question just briefly, Todd?
Well, I guess what I'm asking is, do called pastors have something, have they been given something by God, an ability,
okay,
an extra measure,
right,
of the Holy Spirit, whatever it may be, that is not common to all Christians?
Properly understood, and there's the key disclaimer, properly understood, yes. We pray for ministers at their ordinations and installations for the gift of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul writes to Timothy,
yeah,
about the gift that has been given him.
By the laying on of hands.
Yeah. So, but not in an indelible character Roman Catholic sense of some
charisma,
some, yeah,
virtue
for the priest, but in the sense of this is God's man to deliver the goods to the people. It's a gospel gift for the people. That's how our Lutheran confessions talk,
okay,
about.
Okay, so
it.
The office itself is a gift given in particular to the
Ephesians 4 talk to the church. The pastors are gifts to the church.
Okay, when we come back from this break, I remember speaking to a group of people asking the general question of the audience, how many of your congregations support a missionary? And this was a group of about 200 people, and I probably got 25 hands. And I said, well, I'm surprised, because how many of your congregations have pastors? They all raised their hands. I said, well, you all support a missionary. Think about ourselves as the mission field, not just someplace on the other side of the globe. We'll talk about that, the ministry on the other side of the break. Different names you find it hard to spell. Is there a time for First
Communion? A time. On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Donald Sutherland, James Veland, Jack Netzeband, Katerina Netzeband, Amanda Zamansky, Pastor Chad Dietrich, Stephanie Loesch, Emily Hudson, Pastor Brad Drew, and Kevin Brown. Thanks for your support.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastors or lay leaders to hold a seminar in your area. Go to theclcc.org.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely upon you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes in our pastor's round table. Pastor James Woolmer, Pastor Charlie Henriksen, and Pastor Fritz Bowie. Talking about the office of the ministry. And when you talk about the office of the ministry, you don't end up talking about pastors so much as what Christ has given pastors to do, or authorized pastors to do, to baptize, to preach, to absolve, and to give the Lord's Supper. And before our time is out, we need to get again to this, what the condemnation is, the Anabaptists, whoever they were, and others who think that their own preparations of works bring the Holy Spirit without the external word. Pastor Woolmer, let's talk a little bit about when a pastor does what God has called him to do. What does that look like on a day-to-day basis? I'm not asking you for a blow-by-blow of your day, but when a pastor's doing what God's called him to do, what's it going to look like?
He's a shepherd that cares for the flock entrusted to his care. He feeds them. He visits the sick and the dying. He teaches. He serves. He serves in the stead of Christ and by his command. He's not a dictator. He's not a president. He's not a CEO. But he represents Christ and not himself. And so there is, again, for the sake of our Lord's flock, he feeds and serves them with the very gospel that then strengthens faith, nurtures faith, at first creates faith, all, again, for the sake of faith in Christ.
Part of the problem, Todd, is when pastors themselves or their congregations have different expectations of what pastors ought to be doing. And so the pastor becomes just sort of the cruise director or social director on a cruise ship, or the mascot at parties, or the good buddy. But the pastor is to be about preaching and teaching the gospel, administering the sacraments, overseeing the services of God's house. And all of that requires planning. You see the tip of the iceberg, but there's a lot that goes into that. And the pastor does it corporately and individually for the flock as a whole and for individual sheep. And if the pastor's being run ragged doing other things, that's a misallocation of what he's supposed to be doing.
This morning I began my work day with a chapel for the preschool children in my congregation. And there I was with 3- and 4-year-olds and teaching them about the blind man that Jesus healed. And we said the Lord's Prayer and sang some songs with the children. From there, I went out visiting some of the shut-ins of a congregation, including an old mother, 96 years old, living with her son. I went from there to a nursing home in Lebanon and gave Holy Communion again to a lady in the nursing home there, and then went down to Mascoutah and visited a man that's been with Alzheimer's, a very advanced Alzheimer's. And how do I minister to a man with Alzheimer's? Well, I touched him. You notice that Jesus is touching people all the time. And I held his hand, and I hugged him and gave him a kiss and said the words of the Lord's Prayer and the Apostles' Creed and gave him a benediction. Those are the things that I do. It's the office of the Word and Sacraments.
Okay. In our tradition, one of the brightest minds in this area has been the founder of the Lutheran Church of Missouri, Synod C.F.W. Walther, who actually wrote a book, I think, totally faithful to Scripture, called Church and Ministry, where he talks about both the church and the office of the ministry. And he can talk about the ministry being the highest office and the lowest office at the same time. So how does that work out? How is it that it is the highest office on earth, and yet pastor is never leader in the sense of the way we think of it? He's always servant. How does that work out, Charlie?
The pastor is offering something you cannot get anywhere else. It is like the greatest stimulus package or bailout. You know, if people realized, I tell my little congregation, I said, if people realized what they can get here that they cannot get anywhere else, you'd have the whole town lined up outside our door. But we don't grasp that. We don't appreciate it. And so pastors are whether underpaid or overworked or looked down upon or joked about. You know, we're the off scourings of the earth sometimes. Now, thankfully, we have some members who love us and appreciate us. That's always appreciated by us.
Pastor Walmer, the article that we're studying here ends, they condemned are the Anabaptists and others who think that through their own preparations and works, the Holy Spirit comes to them without the external word. It was mentioned a little bit before, but what is being condemned here?
Okay, the Anabaptists, the Greek word for rebaptize, they thought that one could receive the Holy Spirit without the word or the sacraments, that he just somehow comes, has a direct access, or the believer has a direct access somehow to the Spirit. The others then, perhaps the mystics, they had a disdain for the written word. Enthusiasts back then claimed to have a direct revelation from God apart from the Scriptures. And this is serious, because if one believes that they have a direct access to the Spirit, the Spirit works directly in them apart from the gospel and the sacraments, then who needs the ministry, or really who needs baptism? Baptism and the Lord's Supper are belittled and looked down upon. And so that's why it's very important to see clearly in Scripture that God has attached himself to water, word, bread, and wine. That's how he That's how we obtain faith. That's how he comes to us. These are the vehicles that he uses, the instruments. And in these things are great gifts. And it nurtures faith. It strengthens faith. And so these those who are condemned in this article, we take very seriously because it's a very attack on the gospel.
Todd, one of my favorite phrases in Latin is two words, extra nos, extra nos. It means outside of us. The gospel comes to us from outside of us. Maybe think of like your air, fresh air from the outside in your car. You know, you can close that so it's all circulating within. After a while, that inner air just gets stale. You need it coming from the outside. And so Christ comes to us from the outside. He does it through this man he calls a pastor. And on Sunday morning, when you are being preached to and given to in the sacraments, that's the better place to be, is to be given to by God. And if people would understand what's going on in church on Sunday morning, there wouldn't be this chancel envy to think you're only doing something if you're up in the chancel. Fritz wants to say something.
About 30 seconds here, Fritz.
Yeah, Luther says in the third article, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. This seems directly speaking to the state of religion in America today, because most people believe that faith is something you can crank up by your will or by your mind or your intellect. It's not surprising that many people look on Lutherans as some kind of weird Catholics, because we attach such importance to means of grace with material elements such as water, bread, and wine.
Pastor Fritz Bowie is pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois. Thanks for coming over this afternoon.
You're welcome.
Right next to him, Pastor Charlie Henriksen, pastor of St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bon Terre, Missouri. Thanks you for driving up.
Always a joy, brother.
And from Faith Lutheran Church in Plano, Texas, Pastor James Walmer, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you.
By the way, you can read the Augsburg Confession. The document that we're studying is the basis for our ongoing pastors' roundtables on the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. What would you do if you went to a doctor seriously ill, and when you walked in, he didn't examine you, he didn't take your blood pressure, he didn't look in your ears or your eyes or your throat. He just sat down in front of you and said, you know, you're the real doctor here. Heal yourself. We got Bill Hybels telling his large congregation and many, many pastors who are unwise enough to listen to him, that Christians ought to be feeding themselves. When his congregation rose up and said, we need more of the meat of the word, his answer was, feed yourselves. What shepherd would walk to his flock of sheep in the pen and say, you know, you guys are smart if you put your heads together, feed yourselves. The flock would starve, wouldn't it? Yes. If you went to your mechanic with your car unable to run, and he stood there in front of you, didn't even open the hood, didn't even ask you what was wrong, just said, you know, you're the real mechanic here. And yet we have pastors in the church today, some of them who have actually been called to do what they do, and they say to their people, you're the real pastors here, you're the real ministers here. No, you're not. And that's not a bad position to be in. To receive from Christ himself the great and free gifts that he gives through his word, baptism, absolution, the Lord's Supper, is the best place to be. Charlie's absolutely right. Every Sunday morning. And second to that, only second to that, is to be in the position called to give those things out in Christ's stead. And some are called to do that. Let us pray that as they are called to do that, they will continue to do it just as Christ has commanded. I'm Todd Wilkin, Hour 2 of Issues, etc. in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, etc. Issues, etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.